Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Go Steelers! Go Steelers! Say go Steelers! Go Steelers!
Welcome to the Steelers Outpost Podcast, a proud member of the Armchair All-Americans Network. This is Tom coming to you from the SADA studios of the Washington, D.C. Outpost, and I am happy to report that Nicholas is here in the Washington, D.C. Outpost with me.
Yes, I'm happy to report that this report is true. I'm sad to report that Tom Brady has quarterbacked another team to the Super Bowl, in which he will surely get all of the credit for a truly magnificent team effort by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, from the coaching down to basically every last player on the roster, including one who shall not be named here, who did score a touchdown in the game. But it's a happy day for us since we're here together in person. You guys are getting a field recording version of this because I got to hop on a quick flight tomorrow morning. But of course, it's a sad day, you know. Whenever the Steelers are surpassed in Super Bowls by one man.
So Cousin Pat was here this evening, and you've never seen two guys exercise their Schadenfreude more than you did tonight.
He handled himself pretty well.
Nothing got broken.
There were some small victories. I mean, they could have been massive victories depending on how seriously you took our advice on Twitter, because if you checked out our Twitter, you would know it would be a smart idea to bet the over on Travis Kelce's receiving yards, and you should have done it at Bet Online, baby. I told you before the game, fully confident that the Chiefs would not poop their pants offensively, that Travis Kelce is basically impossible to stop from getting 100 yards. So you got to make that bet on the place with the best props, game, player, team, over, under, spreads, everything they got. You got to make that bet on Bet Online. And hey, I was wrong about their offense, but we were right about Kelce having some yardage. So that, one small victory there. And even though football's over, you can bet on any sport at Bet Online. So use that promo code Armchair when you check in there next time. Bet Online, ching, your online sportsbook experts.
If all you do is look at the score tomorrow morning and you didn't see the game, your jaw would drop to see 31-9, Kansas City not even crossing the goal line.
Yeah, well, and maybe they will at the very last second, and we turned it off because I can't watch the Super Bowl trophy presentation. But I guess if we just want to start with a quick little hitter on the Super Bowl, to me it really comes down to one thing. I'm going to oversimplify this, but I do believe this theory. The Kansas City offensive line being decimated and having to play against a great defensive line in Tampa Bay is what sealed this game from the beginning. I mean, it was a revolving door, that offensive line. Mahomes didn't have time to pass really a single time the entire game. They were never able to get a rhythm going. Tampa Bay was, they were basically unstoppable on offense. They only punted, you know, like once when the game really mattered. But, you know, it was through a balanced attack. It was really through rushing and play action. A couple of their touchdowns are little play action ditties and stuff like that. So it wasn't like it was an unstoppable aerial assault. And I have to think that maybe if Patrick Mahomes' toe was a little bit better, maybe if the Chiefs had one of their starting tackles playing, maybe if the Chiefs had someone other than Wisniewski starting at guard, then the whole timbre of the game would have been different if the Chiefs are high-flying and throwing the ball all around the field. But instead, the Tampa Bay defensive line overwhelmed them. They were in charge the entire game. Kansas City could never get a rhythm. Todd Bowles, the defensive coordinator for Tampa Bay, was pretty brilliant in his pressures. They had a multi-cornerback blitz on one of those first drives. They had people coming from everywhere. He was awesome. Obviously, Devin White, we talked a lot about him. For anybody who's been listening to the podcast for a while, we talked about the two Devins before the Steelers got Bush. And White is a certified star. And yeah, to me, that's really what the game comes down to, the biggest reason for the Chiefs losing. But yeah, they had no chance against that defensive line today.
Yeah, so Mahomes looked absolutely mortal. Not through his own
fault. I mean,
fault,
he looked great. He was making incredible plays, but the offense looked mortal, I'd say.
Well, he was running. He did look a little ambled, even though, you know, he's a fluid guy. He got off some really incredible passes, but he was pretty inaccurate at the beginning of the game in the first half, don't you think?
I think maybe on the first drive he started off with the yips a little bit, but that drop by Kelce early in the game on that third down play where Mahomes once again gets the ball, immediately has someone in his face, scrambles out of the way, takes the hit, throws the 20-yard rope, and it just bounces off brick hands for the most sure-handed guy on the team, maybe in the league, you know. That was a bad omen. So I actually thought he looked great, and then, you know, it really was just encompassed by that play at the very end when he gets the ball on fourth down and 9, has to run all the way back to the 30 because he's under so much pressure, gets tackled, he's horizontal with the turf, and throws a dime to the running back, number 31, as Williams, and just bounces off his face mask.
Isn't this sort of something you can expect generally? If you think about the Super Bowl, it's supposedly the best teams, but there is more opportunity to have this kind of attrition in a game than there is at any other point in the year.
Yeah, if you think about it, there's so much hype for the game, but at the end of the day, it's a regular game. And I really think that those injuries on Kansas City were massive because it played to Tampa Bay's strength. So if they were playing in the regular season, you might brush this off, but you're going into the game thinking, we have a bad offensive line. Two or three of the guys are injured on the offensive line, and the other team has a great defensive line ready to take advantage of it. So then you forget, like, oh yeah, for all the star power, look at the matchup. It's pretty tough. I feel like I've talked about this from the Kansas City angle the whole time. The Tampa Bay team was phenomenal. I mean, if you're a Tampa Bay fan, would you rather be... I mean, you'd never rather be anything except for a Steelers fan, of course. But think of what happens with Steelers fans. We got to win two. We went to three in a great streak there, right? And then we spent 10 years sort of just missing the mark, if you will. Tampa Bay, they are only good once every 20 years. But when they're good, they kick the living crap out of people in the Super Bowl, and they win by 20 every time they're in there. I thought, you know, I was having a lot of Tom Brady conversations before this game, and just saying that my opinion of Tom Brady is that he's definitively a top five quarterback ever. I probably hear people gasping right now into the podcast, but I don't appreciate the fact that people want to say he's the uncontested GOAT when it just seems like there's so many factors that are saying he might be the GOAT, but there's other guys who have a great argument. When you look back at what actually happened in Tom Brady's runs, the first three Super Bowls, he's a great player. He's not the best player on the team. He's a very good supporting role player, much like how Ben was for the Seahawks Super Bowl. But yet we kind of retrospectively give him all the credit for that. Now he's won his seventh, so that whole he's the GOAT, nobody ever talk about it conversation will continue. But I don't know how you say that from watching that game and say like, wow, Tom Brady really overwhelmed the Chiefs there. That was the Tampa Bay defense and the offense as a whole, the running attack, and Tom Brady as a great part of that team.
Look, I was going to ask you this question, but I'll just shoot it out there now. If we have to pick the MVP, you know, it seems like Tom Brady's going to be automatic, the quarterback who has three touchdown passes. But I could argue Leonard Fournette should be in consideration for that.
Well, I guess we'll know by the time this podcast comes out, but you guys get a feel for where we're at right now. And I'm not trying to be this Tom Brady hater. I just love football and want people to have intellectual discussions about it, and this will probably prevent that from happening. I don't think that this takes away. I would never argue that Tom Brady isn't unbelievable and one of the best ever to play, and possibly the best ever to play, but you've never seen him go on a run like what Aaron Rodgers did, culminating in sadness for all of us Steelers fans, where it really was one guy carrying the team on his back. Even what Patrick Mahomes did last year and what you saw tonight. Like, hey, if Mahomes doesn't throw for 300 yards, he can't just count on his defense to win the day. And this Super Bowl should really be celebrated for Matt Light, for the GM, Jason Light, right? Of Tampa Bay, putting together a phenomenal team through drafting and an incredibly aggressive free agency that was aided by Tom Brady's star power. Then you get a guy like Tom Brady, who's immediately going to, you know, make your team phenomenal in all aspects because of how hard he works and how damn good he is at football. But it's just not like he dragged them on his back there. He's not the first, second, or third best player on the team. He's just the most important position, and he played very well. But I just think it's such an impressive team they've developed in Tampa Bay, from the top five offensive line to a receiver group that's literally seven Pro Bowl-type players deep, to the defensive backfield, to the linebackers, and to, of course, the MVP. If you could give it to a defensive line, I mean, that's who you have to give it to this time, right? But I'm not trying to take away from Tom Brady. I wish we could have more conversations about this, and I know it's going to be simplified into Tom Brady drags another team to a Super Bowl.
Well, since all I can do is look in the windshield, are these two teams going to be matched up next year?
They definitely could. I mean, I know that there's going to be some salary cap issues for Tampa Bay, but honestly, if they let Godwin walk, and AB is probably not going to command a big salary in the open market, the receiving core could get better. Because I think if anybody's watching AB right now, he's the same guy he was in Pittsburgh. He just got on the boat late for Tampa Bay. So if they make him a significant part of the game plan, they return pretty much everybody else. And we know the Chiefs are awesome. So, and particularly if the NFC doesn't have any more challengers, the way that they've been non-aggressive in Green Bay and Seattle and stuff like that. So we'll see what happens. But two amazing teams, the two most talented teams in the NFL, I think, by a pretty wide margin. And great quarterbacks for both teams, great coaches. Thought that the Chiefs, you know, got outcoached, particularly in the beginning, not having any response to that crazy blitzing defense. Like I was telling you, maybe this will be like when the Steelers played the Bills, when the Steelers overwhelmed Josh Allen with blitzing in the first half, forced him into multiple turnovers. But then the Bills went into the locker room, came out, and had this short passing attack to take advantage of all the Steelers blitzes, and the Chiefs just didn't, they weren't able to get it going. So sucks that it wasn't as fun of a Super Bowl as we would want it to be, and that You know, I'm not crazy about Tom Brady winning it, but it is amazing as a fan of sports to see a guy who's, you know, able to bring excellence every single time he steps into a locker room or a training facility or a field for that matter.
Well, there was some good news for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that is finally, Alan Faneca makes the Hall of Fame, along with Bill Nunn, the guy who found the gold vein for the Steelers by looking to the small, historically black colleges for talent.
Yeah. If you think about it, the fact that it took them this long to get in really shows the bias of these sports writers who vote for the Hall of Fame towards skill position and sexy things. Okay, let's look at the accolades for these two guys. What other Steeler player made 8 straight All Pros? Not Pro Bowler, All Pro. I can't think of one off the top of my head, but that's what Alan Faneca was. He was the best player at his position, or at worst, second best player at his position for a decade straight. My favorite player of all time is Ben Roethlisberger, but he doesn't have that type of resume. Really nobody in the modern Steelers except for Faneca, Troy Polamalu, and Antonio Brown have really... You know, of course, Woodson, I'm not counting in the era, but like those are the guys who have been unbelievably dominant for their personal position. So he should have been in there a long time ago. And then Bill Nunn, the man has always, he's not a secret guy. There's a reason why he's up for the Hall of Fame. Scouting at those historically black colleges ended up in a team that was like 50% Hall of Famers on offense and defense. There's guys who aren't in the Hall of Fame who should be, but Steelers' exhaustion kept them out. He had 4 Hall of Famers in 1 draft class. Like, these guys should have been in before maybe even Lynn Swann and Jaws and Starworth. And I didn't mean to sully the great names of 2 of the greatest receivers we've ever seen, but you know what I mean? It just shows, like, I wish the Hall of Fame process could be revamped with some more people who maybe watch more film and read less headlines of narratives and stuff. But that's the negative way of thinking about it. But the only reason why I say that is to pay the correct homage to how truly dominant those two guys were and how clearly they belong in the Hall of Fame, especially when we've gotten guys like the Bus in and stuff like that.
It's just amazing. There are these hundreds of players that don't get drafted. And let's not look over there.
Oh, yeah.
And they were there just for the pick. I mean, maybe Bill Nunn, I don't know what his eye was for talent. I mean, obviously, he got
clearly great.
But he went into a pool where nobody was fishing, too.
Right, but that doesn't even necessarily mean that you're going to pick the right guys. I mean, he picked the right guys, too.
That is not a backhanded compliment, but the bigger thing is like, hey, look over here.
Yeah, so, I mean, just adding to the typical eye for talent he had, you're bringing up the point that he was also innovative. So, I mean, he's such a shoo-in. I didn't think that they'd both get in this year. It just seemed like we weren't going to get some of these guys in. But I guess Hutchinson got in last year, so that was kind of an omen that Faneca would be allowed in this year. But, I'm so glad those guys got in. And it helps offset another Brady Super Bowl here. And what about, did you have something else on that?
Yeah, did you ever hear of the Deacon Jones Award?
No.
T.J. Watt
won
that.
That's where I was going. Oh, for the best pass rusher or something? Yeah, that's exactly where I was going. So you read my mind. The Steelers also did win the Bud Light Celly of the Year when Chase Claypool had the birthday cake celebration. It was a great celebration, but, you know, luckily Juju has made the Steelers the preeminent great celebration team in the league. But, yeah, Faneca and Nunn getting in definitely offset the pain of T.J. Watt. Predictably, we knew he was going to lose that player of the year once the Steelers started sliding at the end of the year and Aaron Donald was just heating up, right? But yeah, it sucks that TJ Watt lost defensive player of the year. He has now had 2 consecutive years where he was a very deserving winner of the defensive player of the year award and doesn't win it either time. So that just really hurts, especially when you think the Steelers might have some lean years coming up. You know, we have faith that they can return to their dominant ways, but the salary cap issue is well documented. They could have some lean years coming up, and those awards are based off of team success just as much as the individual success. So it hurts feeling like he had an ultimate chance and he deserved it and his numbers were outrageous and he couldn't beat out Superman Aaron Donald for the award.
Do you remember last year, about this time or a month from this time, the torture that it was, like trying to figure out whether there was no football, there was nothing to talk about, no combine, no training camp, and we just couldn't wait for football to get started?
Yeah.
It's over.
Damn it.
In the blink of an eye, a season has passed us, and we are looking on to 2021. So I think that, obviously things will loosen up, it sounds like. You'll see a combine, or there might not be a combine. I guess they'll have pro days, and that's how they're going to scout this year. But I think there'll be a lot more information. And the Steelers
Outpost. Yeah, no combine. They got pro days and stuff like that.
But the Steelers Outpost podcast is going to bring you some of the finest draft breakdowns you've heard in 2 years.
Yeah.
Since we didn't do anything last year.
Well, you're hearing it. Well, it's a result of being busy, but unfortunately, we don't get paid the biggest bucks. We just get, a couple mil every year, and that's just not enough to have an entire draft season afoot. But I want to go back. We are going to ramp up the programming here. So you got a little pirate radio today because it's hard to pass up the opportunity of getting to do the podcast with each other here. And we have the game on in the background. And as well as I'm going to be flying all day tomorrow. It's going to be tough and we want to get something out on time. But let me just go back real quick to the TJ Watt Award. I see a lot of sentiment from Steelers fans online that he got ripped off. I don't know how you could categorize it as that. Like, it just really sounds blatantly to me like a lot of people who watched every one of TJ Watt's games and none of Aaron Donald's games. Or one, like, I saw him in the playoffs. Yeah, he's really good. But look at the stats. You can't compare the stats of an exterior rusher to an interior defensive lineman who's getting doubled every play. I'm not saying that Aaron Donald is head and shoulders above TJ. I'm just saying they're very neck and neck. So when you're neck and neck like that, you can't say that he was robbed, right? My issue is that, look, this only happened because of one reason, and because the Steelers blew it over the second half of the year, and they went 1-5 at the end of the year. If they just won half of those games, I think TJ Watt still wins this award. But the taste around the Steelers was so nasty by the end of the year, and everybody wanted to see the Steelers fail. So, my jadedness as a football fan grows for sure. The Steelers just had a stench over them, and then to lose in the playoffs like that, especially on a day when Aaron Donald balled out of his mind with broken ribs, and one-manned it against the Seattle Seahawks in the playoffs, that's kind of when we knew, he's going to lose this award. So, very unfortunate. I don't think you can say he was robbed. Silver lining is, it's a tried-and-true Pittsburgh guy who wins the award again here. Aaron Donald, maybe the greatest defensive player besides Lawrence Taylor ever. Yeah, that sucks, but I think that's why that happened, and I don't think people should be saying he got robbed.
Yeah, you don't get points for any of these awards anyway. I mean, sure, maybe it adds a little bit of padding to these player
Hall of Fame contracts, and everything.
It's hard to get excited about it. You actually had a little altercation, maybe that's overstating it, on Twitter today, a little argument about the comeback player of the year.
Oh, yeah, not even an altercation because I wasn't in a conversation with anybody, but Alex Smith won the NFL Comeback Player of the Year award 49-1, and there is a tremendous amount of outrage, shockingly, about who? Guess who? Ben Roethlisberger. Imagine that, the national media being upset that Ben Roethlisberger gets credit for anything at any point in time. So Ben got the one other vote, and here's my take on this. I am just very annoyed at the way this has been reported. Everybody, I retweeted a DD on this where the tweets are always, here's Alex Smith and list his accomplishment. Basically, coming back from the dead with a halfway severed leg to come back and play professional football for a year, which is amazing. And then Ben Roethlisberger gets the other vote. No mention of what Ben did. Okay, so here's my take. Alex Smith should have won it. That's fine. I would have voted for him above my favorite player if I had a vote because his leg almost fell off and he almost died. And if you saw the pins he had on his leg, I mean, it was disgusting. It was gross. And that guy came back and played NFL football in a very mediocre fashion, the same way that he always does. So I just wish that you would acknowledge, wait, Ben Roethlisberger, man who doesn't work out, he doesn't lift weights, and doesn't watch film. This is an everyman. This is in every man that you can't be because he has more talent in his little pinky than anyone has in their entire family genealogy. But this man came back at 38 years old with a shattered elbow and no offensive line to throw for 33 touchdowns against 10 interceptions and 3,800, basically 4,000 yards, to be one of the better quarterbacks in the league, lead a team into a 12-4 record, came back and was great. Smith came back from a more difficult injury and was aggressively mediocre, the same way he always is. And so don't act like Ben, it's so shocking or insulting that Ben even got a vote. There's no, it's a moving target for this award. Is it for performance? Like when Matt Stafford got it, even though he wasn't injured the prior year, he just sucked. And then they were like, hey, you got better. Comeback player of the year. Same with Ryan Tannehill. Like a minor, was he injured for half the season or something like that? But so what's it for? The more impressive injury or for the far more impressive player? So once again, I'll vote for Alex Smith because you're never going to see that story again, really. But don't act like it's a shock that Ben got a vote when in any other year he would have won this award in an absolute landslide.
Yeah, no criterion for this stuff. And it's sort of endemic of all football analysis, right? It's
yes.
An argument you make all the time about not just looking at the numbers.
Yeah, except for if you look at the numbers in this one. It's pretty stark contrast there. So, yeah, Ben didn't win that, but we knew he wasn't going to win that. Aaron Donald, we kind of had some expectation for that. And it just sucks that TJ didn't win it. Sucks that we didn't get a great Super Bowl. I mean, just so anticlimactic, especially when you don't have your damn team in there. All he wants a good game, and it was utter crap.
It was a sedative.
It was a sedative, as you said. It was a long, awkward silence while Cousin Pat and I were depressed when it became apparent that the Chiefs had no chance at overcoming the Buccaneers. And in that silence, Papa Tom from the armchair utters, "This game is a sedative," which broke the mood, broke the ice pretty nicely. But hey, they made it through a COVID season. When we were saying on the podcast, I was saying, I don't even think they're going to be able to do this whole thing. They did it somehow. Hopefully there's some hope on the horizon. The Steelers offseason might be the most interesting we've ever covered. Aside from the interesting and bad and dramatic ways we've covered them before. But the Steelers have all pros at young positions. The salary cap is up by $5 million. Let's see what happens. Let's roll those dice.
Hey, just out of curiosity, did any Buccaneers sit out the year for COVID?
No.
None did, okay.
I don't think so.
That would have been the worst salt in the wound possible.
Oh.
To sit out and then your team wins the Super Bowl?
Oh, that would be brutal, right?
So it is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 31, the Kansas City Chiefs 9. That's a wrap on the 2020 season. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week. Go Steelers.
Okay, bye-bye.
Go Steelers. Go Steelers.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day.
So what makes a life a good one?
In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.